Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go, loaded on a Tuesday live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Joy Taylor is joining me on a fantastic day today. There's all sorts of stuff swimming around out there. Joy, how are you?
Great. Great game last night.
Great game last night. We'll talk about that in a couple minutes. Great game. Great tournament. Totally into it. Thought it was a blast. Totally over-delivered, by the way.
Yes.
Thought we were going to get a yawn fest. I sat there for 2 hours, the whole family watching. Let me start with this, though. Oh, wow. Aaron Rodgers hit back yesterday. All right, let me just tell you what happened. A couple days ago, somebody wrote a story, Tyler Dunn, and it was not very complimentary of Aaron Rodgers or Mike McCarthy. It detailed the mess last year and the mess for the last several years. A lot of things I'd heard before. In fact, I said about the Aaron Rodgers stuff, nothing was really new outside of one or two things. Well, Aaron came out yesterday, guns a-blazing, all fired up, and he punched back, and here's a little taste of Aaron Rodgers firing back in that negative article.
The thing is about this article, you know, it's not a mystery. This was a smear attack by, you know, a writer looking to advance his career, talking with mostly irrelevant, bitter players who all have an agenda, whether they're advancing their own careers or just trying to stir old stuff up. And then what happens is the same tired media folks picking it up and talking about it. This just emphasizes their opinion about me already. The crazy thing is there's super slanted opinions in that piece stated as fact. And then there's quote-unquote facts, which are just outright lies.
Oh, my God. The NFL's most openly liberal California progressive quarterback went Donald Trump. Bitter smear campaign out to get me. He went red hat. Aaron put it on and called everybody bitter and useless and liars and smear attack and out to get me. How ironic yesterday was for Aaron. If you just wrote those words down, they're very Trumpian. I do not believe everybody just makes stuff up about Aaron. They're just out to get him. I don't believe that. I don't read stories like this about Matt Ryan or Philip Rivers or Andrew Luck or Tom Brady. I'm not saying he's the only quarterback to ever be criticized, but oh God, this felt so Trumpian. And by the way, it's a very good strategy. He even did, and this is what the Donald does, he goes to the favorable media, Fox News, who sort of takes care of him and sees his world. Well, where did Aaron go? Not to a Peter King, over to Milwaukee Radio, who just lobs up softball so Aaron can hit him out of the park. And oh, by the way, in both cases, it works. There is so much distrust in the media. I read the surveys. But it works. It galvanizes your base. Trump's approval rating this morning is 53%. The Mueller report doesn't land like the Democrats, liberals wanted it to. And boom, more power than ever. And this morning in Green Bay and that community and everybody's rallying around him. And the Green Bay media saying, those national guys don't know what they're talking about. And the Green Bay fans and the cheeseheads, and Aaron played to his base. It's actually brilliant. He borrowed a page from our current president, who, by the way, I wouldn't vote for, but I don't have a problem that many of you do. It's America. Our republic's built for that. My biggest concern's always been the erosion of the trust in the media, not the people who the media criticizes. But in this case, it was absolutely, you can see where it's coming from. Aaron Rodgers is now 35, increasingly brittle. His division and his conference is better. They are not as good, as talented as the Bears. The roster isn't as good as the Vikings. And Aaron's now looking at 34, 35 years old right in the face. He had a locker room he had to seize. He's got a new coach that nobody knows and nobody's quite sure they trust. And Aaron had to get that locker room back. And he did it. And he galvanized his base. And he went to local media and put on a red hat, and everybody's out to get him, and it's fake, and they're bitter, and it's just some media guy trying to elevate his career. Oh, boy. Okay. By the way, he also did, this is a great tactic. This is a tactic I've seen recently from the White House, which is throw something out there that kind of sounds right until you actually go beneath the surface. Here's something else Aaron said.
If I really dislike Mike that much, why would I resign? Knowing if I play well and we do what we do around here, we made the playoffs 8 straight years, then I got hurt, we missed the playoffs. It's going to be me and Mike my entire career. So if I really disliked him that much, you think I'd re-sign? Is the money that important to me? I'll tell you, it's not. Quality of life is important.
Oh, God, that sounds so right on the surface. Yeah! Except for in the NFL, quarterbacks are trapped. They had a franchise tag you for multiple years. You couldn't have gotten out if you wanted to get out. All you have to do is take a little shovel and dig a little deeper on that quote. And that, my friends, is fake news. Listen, if you want to believe this morning that everybody is just out to get Aaron, the gunslinger book, multiple sources saying things, they're all just out to get him. Jeff Perlman, the writer's out to get him. Tyler Dunn's out to get him. Jeff Saturday, one of the nicest guys I've ever met who played with him, out to get him. Craig Knoll, the backup for Favre, who heard stuff, out to get it. Go for it. I don't do a show trying to convince you how to feel. I do a show telling you how I feel. It can land how it wants to land. But yesterday was playing to your base, galvanizing it, saying the kind of things that rallies them around you. I just thought it was incredibly ironic that the NFL's most openly progressive, politically liberal quarterback donned a red hat. Do better, Aaron. Let's shift to this. Great game last night. I thought it was going to be boring. Ratings are out. You loved it. I mean, didn't love it, but you liked it a lot. Congratulations to both teams, especially Virginia. What a crazy tournament. You talk about dead and unraveled themselves and unpacked losses and turned them into wins. College basketball doesn't have the stars it used to. For those of you in your 20s, here's how the way it used to work. Zion Williamson would come back not only as a sophomore, but as a junior and probably a senior. No, I'm not joking. That's the way it used to work. Stars came back for 3 and 4 years. There was a time when college basketball felt every bit as big as the NBA pre-Magic, pre-Bird, pre-Michael. It's not anymore. What college basketball feels like is that restaurant you've been going to for 30 years and the food's not nearly as good as it used to be, but it's comfortable. It's by your house. They've got good margaritas. There's a couple waiters or waitresses you really like, and it makes you happy. And the food's not as good as it used to be. The good chef left years ago and opened up his own restaurant. But it does make you feel good, and you know the people in that restaurant care. And when you juxtapose the apathy of NBA stars sitting out for load management, and you put it up against the, albeit significantly less talented college guys who are dying for every possession, it feels good. It feels like it matters. College basketball is overwhelmingly now just a 3-week sport. But for 3 weeks, it gives you something in March and early April that the NBA does not during that stretch. Passion. Intensity. They really care. Do or die. Go to the replay. Can end a season. And the way Virginia last year was knocked out as a number one seed in the first round and then came back to win it this year is what sports is all about. Absolute redemption. College basketball used to be much bigger. The season was much more discussed. But it still matters. It still matters in towns like Spokane and Charlottesville and Ann Arbor. It matters a lot. Lubbock, Texas, lost last night. They feel better about themselves. And that's a real thing. Not everybody can be the NFL. Not everybody can be Kevin Durant. Not everybody can be the New England Patriots. Not everybody can be the Warriors. But in middle-sized towns to small towns all over America, you care and we care. And those guys last night did. And that was awesome. Congrats to UVA.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
According to Frank Isola, does he write for The Athletic too? Let me see this. Of The Athletic. Frank's everywhere. He's a smart dude. Some agents believe Durant and Kyrie Irving pairing for the Knicks is inevitable. Let me just, I just want to go on a little bit of a rant here for 3 or 4 minutes. I lived next to New York for 10 years in Connecticut. I'm really glad I did. New York's amazing, but I went there often. The best part was my company usually paid for it. It's really expensive, but I love New Yorkers and I love the authenticity and I love the city. Now, I mostly went to Manhattan, which there are 5 boroughs and there's, you know, there's Bronx and there's Brooklyn, there's Staten Island, there's even Harlem, there's everything. I mostly just went to the island. I went to Manhattan, right? And it has a lot of restaurants and a lot of energy, and a lot of fry. So I didn't really experience the whole New York. I got all the, you know, the glitz and the glamour of New York, but I loved it. I absolutely loved it. But I never wanted to move there. Ever. I had kids. I like space. I like a yard. I like a wiffle ball park next to my house. This idea that winning in New York is just better. Time out. So when Shaq and Kobe and Phil Jackson were crushing it in Los Angeles, they would all drive home at night saying, God, if we only lived in Queens and could play for the Knicks. I don't believe that. When the big three were down in Miami, Aqua Water, Winter League, I don't think they were thinking, gosh, if we could only have a cool pad in Brooklyn and me playing in the garden. I don't think the Philadelphia Eagles for a second wanted to be in any city but Philadelphia when they won. And I don't think the Red Sox or the Patriots ever consider New York a better place to win. They don't. They don't. I like New York a lot. The people, its history, the architecture, the energy. There is nothing better than a couple of nights in New York in the fall, 70 degrees, sunset, with your girl. Feel like the most important person in the world. But New York is actually one of the fastest shrinking states. Weather, taxes, density, whatevs. And it's not more special. People in Charlottesville this morning don't feel like they got jobbed because they don't live in New York. New York's great for born and bred New Yorkers, for a night, for a weekend, for the energy. But this idea that winning in Silicon Valley in a new arena next year will somehow be less cool than winning some games but not a title in Madison Square Garden is just a bunch of hooey. Don't get me wrong. New York does feel big. And I understand the Knicks have the number 1 or 2 valuation in the league. But the Mets also have a top 6 or 7 valuation in baseball because, you know, it's New York. And New York has 15 million people. In fact, I could be wrong on this, but I think the biggest city in the country is New York. Second biggest city is L.A. Third biggest, I think I'm right on this, I think it's like Brooklyn. I think one of the boroughs is even bigger than Chicago. But fact, the New York Knicks have won 1 playoff series this century. Fact, they have the lowest winning percentage to the Knicks this century. Okay, we just saw an aging NBA star in LeBron James join a dysfunctional but legendary brand. It remained dysfunctional despite the aging star. And I understand New Yorkers have pride. So do people in Odessa and so do people in Minneapolis. But I got to be honest with you. Winning in Miami is really cool, especially since there's no state tax and I get to keep more of my money and the water is aqua and I live right on it and I have a boat and the league's in the winter and it's 72 degrees every day. And I also don't buy into this belief. It's just sort of the way a lot of people think that difficult is better. You know what? It's just better to have to dig a ditch for 12 miles to get that paycheck. No, I'd rather walk a mile and get mine. I don't want to dig a ditch. Winning in New York is hard. The media is hard. There's a lot of it. It's intense. There's a lot of drama. James Dolan is not an elite owner. I'm sorry. The front office could be good, and David Fizdale is certainly an upgrade, but it's going to be harder in New York because you're not going to have Steve Kerr and Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and that culture, which is smart and thoughtful and, frankly, protective. But Colin, he would go there by himself. No, he wouldn't. I'm reading all the stories. He would go with Kyrie Irving. This idea he would just go to New York. He'd put a backpack on, like a college kid going to Amsterdam by himself. I'm just going to go see the countryside. That's not at all what I'm reading. People like Frank Isola, who know their stuff and are not fake news, are reporting that Kyrie and Kevin would go together. By the way, just adding pressure that you better win now because you have a second star. And winning in New York is great, but winning in Boston's great, and winning in LA is great, and winning in Dallas and Atlanta and Minneapolis and Ann Arbor and Austin, it's all great. Losing sucks. Winning's great. Always. Always. Definitively. And I think winning in Silicon Valley beats being captivating, interesting, and not winning titles, which I don't think Kevin would, in a really cool city like New York.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
By the way, if my eyes are watery, it's because I've been crying during the break. I'm watching this.
Like you're genuinely crying.
Oh, Jesus. God.
It's
damn you, Budweiser. Budweiser did this.
It is a tearjerker, though.
Oh, my God. I can't even. Nice. I almost couldn't get through this segment. This is awful.
Yeah.
Well, it's great.
Budweiser put out I wouldn't call it a commercial. It's just a social piece of Dwayne Wade. You know, he's been doing jersey exchanges with players from all around the league because this is his last season.
I'm going to start crying as you talk about this. Go ahead.
And Budweiser put together a really nice piece of people who Wade has influenced and touched throughout his career that weren't players. So it's his mother, people that he's helped who've been in crisis in Miami, and the sister of one of the students who was killed at Parkland.
Oh, geez.
Gave him her brother's jersey. So yeah, it's really nice.
Wow.
It's going to be a big moment in Miami tonight. It's his final home game.
Just great.
But I think best athlete, greatest athlete in Miami sports history.
Well, it's only Marino or Wade. I mean, it's those two. I mean, as far in terms of impact, and I think Wade, you know, Dan was always seen as just the talent.
I mean, I think the Marino is the man. Like he is the man in Miami. But you know, Wade had brought the championships. Three of them. Wade, so he really just defines the
Dwayne heat. Wade is what sports is at its best. Jeter, you know, Kobe in Los Angeles, Wade, people that stay, you know, I don't even count the Chicago year.
No.
Seriously, it didn't happen.
Heat fans weren't even mad about it.
If I was commissioner of the NBA, I would eliminate the D Wade to Chicago. I'd take it out of the books. It never happened. Wade is what makes sports great. It's what makes sports deep and resonate. It's about people committing to a community and making, you know, how many kids in Miami, you know, like took their sons to watch D Wade. And it's just, I can't even talk about this. I'm going to get emotional and just the whole show go into the tubes because I'm crying. Oh, it's just congratulations to a beer company for making me cry. Usually, I beer companies make me buzzed. This one made me cry.
Well, I mean, if you have enough of the beer, you might cry also.
God, but no, it's just really such nice. A tearjerker. It's so incredible. Yeah, I'm just a puddle over here. Okay. I have to get harsher again.
Okay.
So yesterday, something happened that I'm not a big fan of. You have your phone and stuff, and I follow people, right? And then sometimes it's called sliding into somebody's DMs. I'm married, so I don't do it with women. I do it with men, and I say, great article, and you're awesome. And occasionally, I do it to a colleague to say, awesome job. But by the way, it is something that's private. If I go to your DM direct message, that is never to be made public. I've had people yell at me on direct message. I've had people compliment me. I send people well wishes. And Juju Smith-Schuster a couple years ago was a wide receiver at USC, and he's a terrific kid. Terrific. USC calls him the hardest working player they've ever had. He's a great kid. He can be kind of goofy on social media, but he's a heck of a kid. And he direct message Antonio Brown. How can I get better? Blah, blah, blah. Well, Antonio Brown, who has gone off the rails in the last 2 weeks, unveiled it yesterday to make Juju look bad or something. But instead, it makes Antonio Brown look like, what are you doing, dude? You don't take direct messages and put them out there to the public. That's private. That's personal. And by the way, my takeaway on that whole mess yesterday with Antonio Brown and taking shots at Ben is Mike Tomlin and Big Ben are laughing their butts off this morning. And they're going, We told you he was Looney Tunes. And by the way, for a couple of weeks, I was kind of split on this thing. I was like, I don't know. Now it's like, whoo, got the crazy guy out of the building. And if I'm John Gruden, and I'm waking up this morning, I got to be honest with you. I got a little buyer's remorse here. I got a little buyer's remorse. you know, this is my knock on Gruden. I said, does John Gruden have a plan, or is he just making crap up as he goes? And last year I said, I don't think he's got a plan. I think he's just making it up as he goes. And then I gave him a little bit of a benefit in the free agency. He went out and got offensive stars. But this kind of feels like, again, they didn't do their homework. You let go of Khalil Mack, who's a good dude, and Amari Cooper, who's like a super dude. And you got crazy guy, lunatic guy, who's taking shots and taking direct messages and putting them out to the public. I don't like this look at all. And by the way, it's why when the trade was made in Antonio Brown, I said at the time, everybody said, oh, the Steelers got jobbed. They only got a third and a fifth round pick. And I said, time out. The Steelers have a history of drafting players, especially wide receivers, better than anybody in the league. A third round and a fifth round pick, and they got crazy guy out of the building. They won the trade. They won the trade. By the way, as I said, even if Brown has a good year, this is a value league. You're getting no value out of him. You're paying him a fortune. Unless, even if he had 15 touchdowns, you're not getting value out of him. You're just, he's worth his money. But everybody in the media just crushed the Steelers on this. Only a third, only a fifth. Well, a third round player should be, if they needed a wide receiver, a very good wide receiver. Antonio Brown was what, a sixth round pick?
When did the third round become a disaster?
Yeah. Like, to me, the NFL, here's the way NFL people look at it. A first round pick's a Pro Bowler. A second and a third round pick are eventual starters and, you know, productive contributors. From that point on, you're flipping coins on, can they be maybe an event? But your second and third round picks
I've never once been like, oh, third round picks.
Yeah, this whole...
It makes no sense to me.
This Antonio Brown thing, Nick Wright talked about it in First Things First this morning. Listen to him.
John Gruden made the decision. Who's the first Oakland Raider to get paid in the John Gruden era? This guy. And now his skills are undeniable. But he's the guy you go out and trade for when you're trading guys away. I just don't know what that says to the other guys.
I think it says John's making it up as he goes. and I've said this before. The coaches that work in all sports, all of them, no exceptions, have a plan. And over the course of their tenure, unveil the plan. If I said to a random fan, what's Belichick's plan? Seeking value, getting players to play for less, no players bigger than the system, that's his system. It's not just collecting players. I mean, Cleveland for years has had good players. Tampa Bay's had good players. Miami's had good players. They don't have a plan. Now, Cleveland thinks they do have a plan. We'll see. Pittsburgh's always got a plan. Pittsburgh's not always great, but they've always got a plan. And those are the teams I like. So Aaron Rodgers yesterday came firing. Aaron Rodgers came out and was taking big swings at the media and people and teammates going out there and swinging at dude. And let me just say this about Aaron Rodgers getting ripped in the Tyler Dunn article. Let me defend Aaron Rodgers on two things. Number one, quarterbacks get the most attention. Okay? So the bottom line is if Aaron Rodgers was a great running back, this story didn't get published. If Aaron Rodgers wasn't gifted, handsome, awesome, talented, and has a Super Bowl, if it wasn't for his greatness, this you wouldn't even an editor wouldn't even clear this story. An editor would be like, you're going to spend 2 months on a story about a high-maintenance, weak-side linebacker? So part of the reason this story gets written about him is because Aaron Rodgers matters. There have been years he was the most important guy in the league. Aaron Rodgers matters. And if you matter in life like Kevin Durant or Aaron Rodgers or Bryce Harper, you get talked about more. You become a victim of mattering, your success. First thing to defend Aaron. Here's the second thing to defend Aaron, is that this is not the first story that's been dramatic with a quarterback. Russell Wilson, ESPN, the magazine, had that, you know, fair, Russell's fake and he's inauthentic. That was kind of an ugly year for Russell. Wasn't a good look for Russell. Big Ben, by the way, is had all sorts of drama. Okay, so Jay Cutler, let's not make this so that Aaron's the first guy to get criticized. I mean, Russell Wilson's gotten whacked. By the way, just a story out this year on Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz is no day at the beach. Players like Nick more than Carson. So let's not make this that Aaron's the only guy getting criticized. Did I think Aaron was way too defensive yesterday? Do I think Aaron would have been much better? He's a smart guy coming out and saying, hey, you know, listen, I'm not perfect. I'm flawed. I'm tough. I'm driven. I rub people the wrong way. I think it would have been a thousand times better look. But I do think Aaron's trying to galvanize his base, Green Bay, the locker room, new coach, his community. So it's kind of the fake news. Everybody's bitter. And that kind of galvanizes the people around you. I get it. I wouldn't have done it. Aaron chose that path. I think he's smarter than that. Whatever. But he had a comment. Let me just play one of the comments he talked about and go ahead.
And with Greg, I don't even know what to say. It bothers me that every time there's an article, it's the same two people. If there's not an article about me, do you ever hear their name anywhere else? At what point do you move on? You talk about me being sensitive and petty. At what point do you move on or stop telling the same stories? Like, really? A conversation with Carlos Rogers in the field making a joke about his situation? That's what you're going to hold on to? And, oh, yeah, I knew that, you know, I wasn't going to be, a Packer next season. It's the same two people. It's the same story. At some point, you got to have something else to talk about.
Well, that's just not true. Ryan Grant has talked about him. Craig Knoll, Jeff Saturday, Jeff Perlman, Donald Driver. You can go back to the Gunslinger. You can go to this article. That's just not. And I'm not just defending Greg because he's here. By the way, I've got two great sources on Aaron Rodgers. One, I can't unveil because he's still around Aaron. Aaron can be rough, condescending, a little into Aaron. I think him being defensive yesterday and projecting is kind of sometimes what people are turned off by. If you read the article, it said Aaron never takes accountability for anything. And yesterday, he didn't take accountability for anything, which is I was surprised at his tactic because I think he's a really, really smart guy. And I think he's a really, really thoughtful guy. I think he's a good guy. I think he's flawed like everybody. I mean, I like Kobe Bryant a lot. Kobe could drive me nuts. Kobe could drive me nuts his last couple contracts. But that's not fair. There, you can go back to the Gunslinger book. Is Jeff Saturday's been quoted about the eye rolling? Is he after you? Nobody's after you. Right? It should be noted that there are parts of Aaron Rodgers' chip on his shoulder that I like. I like that people overlooked Drew Brees. And I like that people thought Russell Wilson was too small. And I like that Aaron Rodgers went to a junior college. And he can be a little, lack of a better word, pissy. I kind of like that about him, but I think there are times the criticisms are not just from two people, and they're valid. It was harsh. It was not a great look for him. I'm not saying it's easy. If that article was about me, it's not easy. You come into work and, you know, you're feeling some anxiety and you feel embarrassed and you have to defend yourself. For the record, if you think I'm anti-Packer, can I just say this? Yes, I can. It's my show. So here goes. I actually think all of this for Big Ben and Aaron Rodgers this year, I think they're going to have really good years. I think the Steelers are winning their division, and I think the Packers are winning theirs. And I think in a weird way, this is going to play to Big Ben and Aaron Rodgers' strengths. They're ticked off. They're going to be completely focused. I think Aaron's going to have a great year. I think the Packers, between free agency and last year's draft, have done a great job to find young defensive talent. I think actually Aaron's going to bounce back out of this. And he's going to have a great year. And I cross my fingers. I don't love the fact that the Packers would not make a run at Khalil Mack because I'd rather have him on my team than face him twice a year. They open the season at Soldier Field. Good luck with that, blocking Khalil Mack. But I do think Aaron and the Packers are going to, like the Steelers and Big Ben, who have had a rough offseason, both use this as motivation to create hyper-focus and kick butt this year.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Yesterday was crazy. Aaron Rodgers fired back, including at our colleague Greg Jennings, about the story by Tyler Dunn that was very critical of Aaron Rodgers and his relationship with Mike McCarthy. And here is yesterday Aaron Rodgers talking about our Greg Jennings.
And with Greg, I don't even know what to say. It bothers me that every time there's an article, it's the same two people. If there's not an article about me, do you ever hear their name anywhere else? At what point do you move on? You talk about me being sensitive and petty. At what point do you move on or stop telling the same stories? Like, really? A conversation with Carlos Rogers in the field making a joke about his situation? That's what you're going to hold on to? And, oh, yeah, I knew that, you know, I wasn't going to be you know, a Packer next season. It's the same two people. It's the same story. At some point, you got to have something else to talk about.
And with that, via the Cowher Global Satellite Network, Greg Jennings joins us in his home in Minneapolis, former Packer. All right, Dad, let's respond to that. What do you make of those comments by Aaron Rodgers saying that about you?
Well, number one, when I listened to the entire interview, and then he's asked about, you know, JerMichael Finley, he gave some points that are like, wow, you know, if I'm JerMichael, I'm like, okay, maybe I should reconsider my stance. When he's asked about myself, he says he doesn't know what to say. And here's my response to that. You don't know what to say because there is really nothing to say. It really isn't. I am not trying to continue to add fuel to a fire. Before I ever talked about this, and Colin, I talked about it on this show with you sitting right there across from you and Joy, when the world first really heard this. My mom, my wife, that was their first time ever hearing this. So this was something that I wasn't trying to throw out there and add fuel to a fire. It was a story that was real, something that bothered me. And it could be called sensitive. That's fine. I'll take that. But I wasn't trying to throw it back in his face. I wanted to talk to him about it first. I had opportunity to do that. I thought when I went to Green Bay and called the game and spoke to Mike McCarthy and shared it with him, told him I would like to talk to Aaron Rodgers, talk to training staff there, talk to players there, and said, let me talk to Aaron. Aaron saw me and completely avoided me. Before I ever told that story, this was my stance. I wanted to talk to him behind closed doors and just air it out. But that never happened. I never was given that opportunity. And if he's listening now, he knows I follow him on all his platforms. My number has not changed. I looked through my text messages and made sure, let me see if he has my information. He has my information. He knows how to get into contact with me. I'm not trying to shoot bullets at Aaron Rodgers. I'm simply stating my fact to what I know is true and my own opinion of my time and my experience and what I thought. Now, to his response on, you know, a conversation being made light of and it was a joke. Well, obviously that needed to be cleared up with me because I didn't know it was a joke. I didn't take it as a joke. It could have been cleared up before I ever even shared the story 4 or 5 years, 6 years after the fact, before I ever even talked about it publicly. He had that much time. So for me, that's the part that bothers me a little bit because I'm not going to sit here and act like I don't have a or did not have a really good relationship with Aaron Rodgers because I did. Did I like everything that he did? Did I agree with everything that he did? Absolutely not. Did we thrive on the football field? Yes. Did we have a relationship off the football field? Yes. One that I felt like would continue to grow and that I felt even on my exit, there would have been even more conversation between he and I. Now, regardless of that happening or not, it's needless to say what he's shooting back at yesterday. I mean, it is what it is. I expect it. He's going to win when it comes to public opinion and who's going to side with who. Yes, he's playing. He's Aaron Rodgers. He's the quarterback. Quarterbacks tend to be looked at as the ones who are always right.
Yeah.
And they're going to say the right things to make sure that they save face with organization moving forward and with fan base. I respect that, but don't expect me to applaud you when you do well and to then not applaud when you're not doing or living up to what the expectations are that you have set. And that has always been me. I am going to speak truth, whether that is truth that is for you or truth that you don't really want to hear because it attacks or it comes at you in a constructive manner.
Yeah. Well, by the way, I've always said, and I tell all former players this, I said, if you want to be a star in broadcasting, give up your buddies. Occasionally, you have to be critical of people you like. And Peyton Manning, by the way, has told people he's not sure he wants to be a broadcaster because he got too many friends in football, and he didn't want to be critical of his brother, which I totally respect. But if you want to be Charles Barkley, if you want to be Greg Jennings, if you want to be Terry Bradshaw, if you want to be Howie Long, A-Rod's been a great broadcaster. Sometimes you got to call guys out, and I think you've always been forthright about that. Now, I also think, I'll say this, because everybody thinks I hate Aaron Rodgers, but I said this before you came on. I think actually he was playing to his base. In a way, it's a little Trumpian that my guys are going to rally around me. It's fake news. Everybody's bitter. I actually think Aaron's going to thrive over the next 12 months because he's got to get this organization right now. Mike's gone. It's all on Aaron. Part of me gets what he did yesterday. Like, galvanize the base, blame others. They're all against us. Could I make the argument that it was a move to gain steam and momentum in his locker room with a new coach? And it's he's smarter than we think, and he's doing this as a plan.
You know, no, I think that's a safe assessment that you're making, and it could very well be true. My assessment is a little different.
Okay.
Again, he's saying what he feels in his heart is true. I honestly don't believe Aaron Rodgers really solely thinks that he is and or has been a problem. Has there been issues? Yes. But because he has had so much success, everyone is willing to forego anything that does not or did not appear to look like success, because what he brings is so great. And I understand that, but that doesn't mean it can't be challenged. That doesn't mean it isn't under question. And so, yes, is this going to possibly galvanize those guys? 100%. I do believe that. But at the end of the day, the ownership is going to be on Aaron Rodgers to make the relationship not only with his teammates work, which he does that, but with his new head coach in Matt LaFleur.
All right, up against the clock. Greg Jennings, I always appreciate this. I wanted you to respond to the article. As I said earlier, there's a list of former Packers who have said things, not just you and JerMichael Finley. That's a non-truth. But I did hear a lot of emotion from Aaron Rodgers. I thought he kind of sounded raw yesterday. He was ticked off. He came out swinging, and I wanted your response on that. We got to run. Greg, you know I always appreciate it.
Absolutely. Appreciate it, Colin.